to The Divine Breadcrumb with your hosts, Carol Campos and Deb Sorensen. Carol and Deb have always believed the universe helps people on their path by sending signs, clues, or what they call divine breadcrumbs. A divine breadcrumb can create both small and massive shifts in a person's life. On this podcast, Carol and Deb will speak with authors, healers, entrepreneurs, and other amazing people across the globe to discuss these pivotal moments. So get ready to learn, to love, and to laugh. And remember, the universe always provides if you allow it to. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Carol, co-host of The Divine Breadcrumb. I am so excited to talk to you about my new 10-week one-on-one coaching program, Energy, Esteem, and Empowerment. I designed this program for people who feel powerless, who feel like their self-worth has been damaged and continually attract toxic situations and people into their lives, but can't figure out why. And worse, they feel like they can't be who they really are. This is something I've been called to do for a long time based on my own experiences with trauma and abuse and my long journey to heal. In this program, we'll be focusing on uncovering your personal power, cultivating self-esteem and self-love, and doing deep energy work. It's time to remove the mask and let your true voice be heard. To learn more, go to carollcampos.com, click on the services tab, and then private coaching. Again, that's carollcampos.com, click on the services tab, and then private coaching. You can do this, and I'll be right there with you.
Hi, everyone. This is Carol.
This is Deb. Welcome back to the Divine Breadcrumb.
Yes, welcome back. I am so excited because today we are talking with a woman I absolutely love, not just because she friggin' lights up a room with her energy, which she does, and is insanely talented, which she is, but she uses her unique background to help people communicate better in business and in life. I am talking about the effervescent Lila Smith. Lila is the creator of Say Things Better, which is all about coaching through intentional communication. But what makes Lila's brand of coaching so unique is that she leverages her 10 years as a professional actor and merged that with her expertise as an e-commerce leader, providing her clients with an unparalleled experience. And about a year ago, Lila invited me to one of her Say Things Better masterminds. And this was one of the best things I've ever done for myself because Lila was so generous with her feedback. And more importantly, she gave us all kinds of exercises and tools and tips. And I enjoyed it so much that I had a one-on-one session with her. And she blew me away with how quickly she could zone in on things I needed to work on. And she gave me great feedback and suggestions. And I got off our call feeling like I had really been seen and heard. Lila is also the co-author of the children's book, You've Got Values, which comes out in 2021. And she's also been known to post videos of herself singing to underscore a point or lesson. So much to get to. Lila, welcome to the show.
My goodness, what an incredible introduction. Thank you so much, Carol. And hi, Deb. It's so exciting for me to be here with you guys, both of you, really. Thank you for, I mean, what incredible things to say about someone. I don't think we even need to have the show. Like, now everyone knows what they need to know.
Yes. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Bye-bye now. So,
bye. Fastest episode.
Yeah, fastest episode ever. So I've heard you sing and perform online, and you have an incredible voice. But tell us a little bit about how you went from a career in acting and performing to what you're doing now.
Well, thank you. And thank you for the question. It is, I think, one and the same. I've not stopped doing what I did as an actor. I just took away the script. And that's really what I'm helping other people to do is say, instead of like trying to pick out the perfect words all the time to best tell the story, let me just teach people about communication using the same tools that I used in acting and just kind of reverse engineering the ones that create unpleasant drama because it's interesting to watch on stage, but not so great to live in real life. You know, we all want to watch reality shows, right? But we don't actually want to be in one. We just want our reality, most of us, to feel pretty good most of the time. That's really like the goal, isn't it?
Right. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So I just kind of took the tools that I learned for how to create the truth on stage, how to express my voice, me, Lila Smith, not just, you know, the character, but bringing things forth from my own life. And in theater, all of that stuff that I was bringing forth was underneath the surface, that what people heard were these words that a playwright had written or music that a songwriter had written. And yet the rest of it, beyond the words, that was everything that I was communicating from myself, my heart, my soul, my spirit. And that's what I help people to bring out in their own communication now. Whatever your words are, plus your heart, your soul, your life, your spirit, who you really are.
Right. And it's just such an interesting trajectory. I mean, I remember when I first met you and kind of learned about your background, I just thought, how cool to take that experience from theater and then translate it into what you do now. I don't know anyone who does anything close to that.
Well, you know how actors have day jobs, or I don't know, maybe you don't know. A lot of actors, I would say most actors have day jobs, meaning like a way that we make income, because the arts just have a way of not paying as fast as they debit. You know, they don't credit as fast as they debit in terms of like the actual bank account. So some actors look for flexibility in employment, like being on wait staff or bartending. I took my jobs in e-commerce, you know, writing customer service templates and managing people. And eventually I ended up with this whole career in e-commerce, director of a department at a footwear company. And that was the last full-time job that I had. But it was crazy because I had this full-time regular mainstream professional life. And then it's like this alter ego, right? Like Batman, you know, and then like Bruce Wayne, you know, turns into Batman and Lila Smith turns into this actress in theater. And I had both. I had both lives. Yeah. And so I would use one for the other, you know, in one way or the other, just to kind of use marketing from e-commerce to help me get jobs as an actor, and certainly using my communication tools as an actor to be a better leader for my team.
So when did you realize that there were tools that you could sort of use in both places? Did that make sense to you?
No, I was just doing it and I didn't realize at all. Yeah, I didn't get what I was doing at all. I had no idea. I was just like going along, you know, communicating. And then in 2017, I had this kind of crisis of self where I realized I'm really only using half of myself at any given time, maybe half of myself in the theater where it's all this truth, but you don't know it, you know, it's like a presentation of fiction. And in business, you know, using that part of my brain, but not really using the creative, the expressive, not in the same way. Like 50% of myself was active at any given time. And I just felt like, oh God, I'm just collecting dust. You know, I've been put here on this earth to what, be 50% of me? And it felt like gross, you know, and sad and depressing. Yeah. And so I came to LinkedIn June 1st, 2017, began 1,000 consecutive days on LinkedIn instead of going right to any other blue and white social media app, you know, that still remain nameless. And I came into the community and I was like blown away by the kinds of conversations that people were having, by the honesty, the generosity. People were sharing from their expertise and from who they were as people. And I just wanted in, like, so to speak, you know, in. I wanted to link in to this network. Those are the people who kind of called it out to me. They said, well, when you leave a comment, it's like you're writing a whole book. And when you communicate, you say things in a way that connects. It's not like I always have the perfect words, although I do for other people, it's not for myself, you know. But those people were the ones who called it out to me and said, what is it that you're doing that is so much better than what other people are doing? Why can you say things better? And I had to look at it. And I'm like, wait, you don't automatically like choose an objective when you speak, or you don't like, you don't pick a verb like we do in theater to decide how you want to make someone feel. I thought that everybody just did this. And when I realized that they didn't, and I took inventory of what my process was, I was like, oh, wow, this is exactly what I do in theater for a character. I'm just doing it for myself. It was kind of a no-brainer.
That is so cool. And I remember, because I started on LinkedIn really engaging in 2018, probably the summer of 2018. And at that time, you were already a big rock star on the platform. So of course, I started following you. And you know, it's interesting, you gravitate towards people whose messages really are aligned with your values.
Yeah.
And it kind of led me to my next question. You know, you talk about verbing your values. What does that mean?
Well, in acting, there is actually a tool that I was trained to use, where before I would go on stage, I would think about what my character wanted to make the other character feel. And I just decided to go and do that. And we would use verbs because they're action words. They're transitive verbs saying, I do this to you. So not I walk with you or I walk you, unless it's a dog, right? But I motivate you. I amplify you. I encourage you. I uplift you. What is it that I do to you? And it's just taking accountability for making that decision ahead of time. Before you have a conversation, you decide, what is it that is true to you? And that's where the values part comes in, past the verbs. I say, you know, don't just decide to make someone feel something random. Make them just feel something in alignment with your values, who you really are.
Yeah, I thought this was just such a powerful tool when we were doing the mastermind, because I had never really thought about it in those terms. And once you really start thinking about it, it really helps you kind of hone your message and get clarity on your message.
So simple. So simple. It's just this three verbs. One of them is a listening verb. You know, everybody has to pick one that holds them accountable to the kind of listener they want to be. Some people listen to affirm, and some people ask themselves to listen. You can't really listen to educate. So as, you know, an example of the opposite, if you're trying to educate someone in the moment that you're listening, you're not listening. But you can partner with someone, you know, you can encourage, you can support, you can even investigate. That would be a great, you know, there are people whose values are to uncover or to reveal. And if that's what you're trying to do as you're listening, it's a specific kind of listening. You kind of get the flavor of it. Like, that's the flavor that's true to you.
Right.
Like on this podcast, right, it's very much to reveal or to uncover these breadcrumbs. Like, you're following the breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
And so it's, maybe it's to follow or to, yeah, to uncover, I think.
I wasn't planning on asking this, but I'm just curious. So when you were performing, when you were in the theater, and now you're doing a live performance, as you're acting, are you thinking, like, is your head going back to when you were practicing this verb exercise? Does that stay in your head while you're on stage? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All the time, you know, and in the middle of a scene, we might pivot, we might pick different verbs. So if you think about reading the room, or you're doing a presentation and you think people are checked out, asking myself, what is the verb that I'm using right now? And am I really even using it? So if I think about my own values, to include, to connect, to affirm, to empower, you know, and I pick three. So sometimes I go between to connect and to include. And so this week it's to include and to affirm and to empower. Those are my values right now. If I'm on stage and I'm giving people to empower, you know, and I'm like, here are the tools and here's what to do and you can go and do it. And I believe in you and your voice is important. And the people in the room are like, whoa. And you start, and I start seeing them looking at each other like, this is a lot. Who is this girl?
Yeah.
Then I might just switch. I might pivot and pick a different one of these verbs, not because I want to be less like myself, but I want to pull from a different side of myself. So I might go into to include, right? And bringing them into the energy rather than pushing it out towards them. And people need, different audiences need different things. As long as I'm doing something that's true to myself, I'm willing to do that. And that's why the value part of it is so important. It's what is important to you, so that you know, even if you're switching how you speak to someone or you're moving into a different feeling of it, it's still totally you.
Right, right. We're multifaceted and there's many things that are going to be important to us, and it'll still be authentic to talk about.
Yeah.
I like the part about reading the audience and pivoting to engage with how they want to hear you.
It's not just the audience. There are people in my life who don't want all of the different parts of me all the time.
Yeah.
Some people do not want the affirmative part of me. Like they don't, they have their own issues with being complimented, or they have their own issues with hearing somebody say yes to them or valuing them. And they need to know that it's not just they're around some yes person, that they actually want someone who challenges them more. And if they don't hear the challenge, they're not able to accept that genuine positivity from someone. That's on them, right? But it's also on me as their communication partner to then choose a different thing that I can do. I can include them in the discussion by bringing up their experience and asking them to, you know, some guiding questions that they would feel very qualified to answer and that they would add value by answering. And so including them in that way probably feels better for them than just me saying, I read your book and I heard this thing you said, and these were really great. You know, that for those people, having the opportunity to showcase it themselves might feel more genuine than hearing somebody just say positive things.
Right.
And someone else really needs that encouragement. Like they really need to know that, you know, Carol, what you said in my intro about feeling seen and heard, that's to affirm. Like of my values, that's the result. If I choose to verb that value to affirm, it's because I really want people to know that I see them for the value they actually have and that who they are as they are is more than enough. And then to helping them find strategically some ways of using those elements of themselves to make progress towards whatever their goals are, especially through communication. But to affirm really landed with you, and that you called out, that feeling you had, that was the result.
Right. And of course, we're all mirrors for each other. And I think because that value is important to me, that's why I called it out.
Exactly. Yeah. We all speak our strengths and we speak our values. I have a Verb Your Values workshop that I do, and all my workshops are pay what you want through the end of the year. And, you know, just because this year has been so freaking nuts, you know, like I just wanted to be able to do my work and not have people worrying about affording it. So I have these workshops, and the Verb Your Values workshops that I've been doing, they're very interactive, and the format of them is really, it's fun, and it moves really fast, but we're really listening to a lot of different people in the group, whether it's out loud or in the chat, that we learn in the very beginning of this workshop how to listen for other people's values. And we're calling it out. We're practicing this throughout the workshop. So if I hear Carol say, she really made me feel seen and heard, then I might say that Carol's values are to see and to hear.
Ooh, I love that.
Because that's what you found value in. Yeah, and so I'll call that out for the group, or somebody else might have.
And what a great tool to really be tuned into that.
Yeah. You learn a lot about people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So last year we talked with Kristen Sherry on the show, and you recently collaborated with her on a children's book titled You've Got Values. How did this come about?
Yes. Well, Kristen is one of my best friends. And we met on LinkedIn in late 2017. I got my UMAP done, and she's the creator of UMAP. I know, Carol, you've got yours, and Deb, we've got to get yours done. So UMAP is your strengths, just your natural talents, things that you're good at without having to be taught. Like, someone might be a really good analytical thinker, not something anyone could teach me how to be. Mm-hmm. And so those are your strengths. And then there's your values. Values are the things that are important to us. They're the things that help us feel aligned with the people, with the culture around us, with what we are acknowledged for or not, with the ways that we are acknowledged. All of this is about how we feel moving through the world and why we are drawn to certain things or people. And then your skills, just the things that you like doing that you're also good at, as opposed to the things that you're good at that you end up doing, right? Mm-hmm. So we call that motivated skills, which are the ones that you really want to be spending your time using. And then just the way you're wired. I am the nurturer is my type. I also have been the performer, artistic and enterprising, and sometimes my top two results kind of swap places. So I've been the performer, which is artistic and enterprising. I need to create and I need to be strategic. And now it's really, I need to be able to care for people. I need to be able to provide that safe space, like what you two do on this mm-hmm. show, providing that space for affirmation and inclusion. And so that's kind of who I am. I learned that working with Kristen, and her telling me kind of at the beginning of all of this, hey, you know, your UMAP shows you'd be a really good communication coach. And I was like, at the time, I had just left acting. I was like, this is not for me anymore. Not even looking forward to rehearsals anymore, because I feel like there's more than this. And I was just kind of in that job and feeling that now I was only 50% of the time. And the rest of the time was just like, I don't know. So meeting Kristen when I did, she said, you could be a really good communication coach. And I was like, Kristen, I need a job. I can't just go be a communication coach. That's not even a thing, right? Like, what are you talking about? She said, no, it's a thing. And one of her values is to equip. She's constantly giving people tools. And if you look at any of her content, it's usually actionable in some way. And so she was like, oh, you could just that. And I'm like, that sounds like for someone else. That sounds like something someone else could do. And absolutely, I did all of those things. And now here we are.
Yay.
Yeah. But because she's so into the values, you know, that pillar of UMAP, and because we are so close, it was kind of a natural thing. And she knows how much I love kids, and I love reading to kids and writing and being creative. It was a very collaborative process. She said, listen, I'm writing this series, this You've Got Gifts series, which is like UMAP for kids, helping kids understand at a young age what's important to them, what's valuable about them, and how they're going to best enjoy a day in the life of themselves. Mm-hmm. And help for their parents too, to understand their kids better. And that the second book in the series would be called You've Got Values, after that values pillar of UMAP. And she asked me if I would collaborate on this with her. And it was the single greatest honor of my life. Asked by one of my favorite authors to collaborate on something that means so much.
It is. Well, and for anyone who is not familiar with the book, You've Got Gifts, it is, first of all, it's adorable. The story and the illustrations are adorable, but it's just so valuable, helping children see their gifts, helping parents kind of navigate this, because parents don't always know how to recognize a child's gifts. So I think that's what I love about this series, is it's kind of a guidebook for parents as well, without seeming like a guidebook.
Yeah. It seems like a fun thing to read. And then there are exercises at the end, but even those exercises are fun to do. It really feels like here's a conversation I'm having with my kid. And wow, I don't know that I've ever had a conversation like this with my kid before.
Exactly. So when does the book come out?
On March 11th, 2021.
Ooh, I love that date. It's just, I love 11.
Yes.
So that,
yes.
For some reason, that always seems like a fortuitous date. Yes.
It's a divine time, right? 11-11.
Yeah. Yes.
And in fact, our anniversary of the Divine Breadcrumb is coming up. We purposely went live on 11-11.
Oh, wow. There's good energy around the number.
It's an important number through our friendship.
Yeah.
What do you mean? How so?
If you know anything about numerology, life path numbers.
I don't. You have to tell me like I'm a baby.
Well, the life path numbers go from typically 1 to 9, but then there are two, I guess they're called master numbers, Carol?
Yep.
Which are 11 and 22. And you get to your life path number by adding up the digits of your birth date. And Carol and I are both 11s.
Okay. So wait, adding up the numbers of your birth date. So I'm July 1st, which makes me 8. Or do you include the year too?
Yep. You include the year.
Okay, so 1982.
So you add them up. So 7, 8, 9, 18, 26, 27, 28. So 8 plus 2 equals 10. So you'd be a 1.
I'm a 1.
You could look that up on, just you can go to any numerology site and look up what, okay, what is a life path number 1? What does that mean? And then what you can do is you can also do specific dates sort of within a year. So you could do today's date, for example, and then what is today? What, you know, what number is today? So it's sort of like astrology, but not really. And then there's...
So it's knowing where I am. I'm a 1 and I'm on a 7 day.
Yeah. And there's a pattern. Okay. Because of course, they rotate, right? So...
Right.
And I'm not an expert in numerology, and anybody that's listening that knows about numerology is thinking, oh, she's totally butchering this. Then there are other things that you can calculate, and off the top of my head, I don't remember what they are, but I know one of them is assigning digits to the to your name, and that,
oh,
that
cool,
gives you something else, some other...
Well, I know that that's a thing, like, in mystical Judaism, you know, in the Kabbalah.
Yep.
I don't really know that much about it. Carol, you must know. You studied all the religions and all of the things. Like, I don't know anyone who studied more things about anything than you have. But you know what I'm talking about, right? Like the Hebrew letters
come with
sort of a numerical equivalent, and then
they do.
The vibration of that means something or accomplishes some kind of energetic expression.
Exactly. And it's like a code. It's like cracking this code. And it's really kind of cool. And some people really put a lot of stock into this and like live their lives this way. Like, you know, I'm not going to go live with my business unless it's a 2 day or whatever. We don't get that into it. I think for us, it was just a fun thing. Like we always just kind of joked that we're both 11s and we'd celebrate a lot on 11 days. So it just made
that's
sense.
Great. Well, I love that, you know, it has given you awareness. That's all. It's given you awareness of, oh, it's 11. Let's celebrate, you know, and what a great opportunity. Just any kind of reminder to be more celebratory. How can that be a bad thing?
Oh, exactly. Well, and yeah, I think both of us were seeing 11s everywhere for a long time. So that was kind of a cool thing too. And because we were looking at the meaning through that, talk about divine breadcrumbs, then we came across this magazine, 1111, that's was created by this woman, Simran Singh, who has written books called Conversations with the Universe and a few others. And she talks about a lot of this, all the symbols and that everything represents something. And coming full circle years later, I think we've been following her work for 7 years. She was on the show this year. So
cool.
It's a cool thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I love things like that. And I love learning things like that about other people. You know, like, what are your weird things? What are your quirks?
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
I would never judge anybody for, even if something sounds crazy to me. There's nothing crazier than saying, oh, let's use theater tools to help people in pharma communicate with each other like real leaders, you know, like, but I do it, you know, and it helps. I think anything that calls your attention to your intentions is valuable.
Absolutely. And I think that creativity and thinking outside the box is what sticks with people. That's what they, you know, those are the lessons that even though they are might seem weird to some, they sure don't forget them.
Right. You remember it. Like my very educated mother just served us nine. And now you're not supposed to say pizzas, right? Because Pluto's not a real planet anymore or something. Or now it's a dwarf planet. They got to make up their minds about Pluto one of these days. Before I have a kid, I have to talk to you about it. But it's like that, you know, it's a weird sentence. But because you're not usually saying sentences like that, you remember it.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Or I did not appreciate history when I was in grades, you know, junior high and high school. Mm-hmm. And part of it was the way that they taught history. It was very dry and memorization and who won what battle mm-hmm. and, you know, what general, all of that. Very, very boring. So when I got to college and found out that I had to take history again in college, I was very disappointed. But I have to say, I had some of the most amazing history teachers in college. And one of the things that she did is as she was teaching things about history, she would teach the scandals that took place. Because then you remember.
Brilliant.
Yes. Yes. I'd be like, wait, what season was that?
Right, right,
oh,
exactly.
That was the War of the Roses, right? Like,
yeah,
that
yeah,
was during like, the War of the Roses.
Like the Us magazine of history.
Yeah, I mean,
that's brilliant.
She did teach us, you know, she didn't just teach us scandals, but it was always a little, because, you know, we're all early 20s or whatever, and, you know, when she's talking about, oh, yeah, and this one was gay, and this one was cheating on his, you know, and all of that made you, then they became people, not just things to memorize. They had personalities. And I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. It's like to anchor you. This is the way that we do engage with things, and this is not new, right? Like, we know, I said reality TV before as a thing, but this is what we want. And in fact, Shakespeare's plays were very often very thinly veiled criticisms of how government was operating or the monarchy or whatever, or how the upper echelon of society was behaving. And so you really get the same kind of experience. But when people were living in history, they were experiencing it through the scandals too. What do you think they talked about all day, every day without television and the internet? They had to talk about something.
Yeah.
It was a scandal. It's brilliant.
Yeah. So when you take that and broaden it, right? So now if you are studying art and you know about the time period that the art is created, well, now the art makes more sense. Or the music.
Yeah, context.
Or the plays or whatever. So so without that context, it's all very dry and you're going to remember it for the test and then forget about it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's funny. My dad has passed now, but when he first got out of college, he was a history teacher in high school and the students loved him because he was a really good storyteller, but then he told all the stories in the context of history. And Deb could attest to that. She's listened. Yeah. She used to listen to his stories.
He was an amazing storyteller.
It does. It makes all the difference. And circling back, it reminds me of the way you communicate, Lila. It's just, you really engage people in such a way and using these different tools or singing, which I'd love that too.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about what you have going on with your LinkedIn show, Live with Lila.
Live with Lila is all about real life and real business examples of intentional communication. And so it sounds like a good show, right? Like, who wouldn't want to watch something like that? Yeah. But actually, it's really just my excuse for pulling people into conversations I want to have when I know that I can learn something from them and have a good time. Like, I've had incredible people on my show, you know, leaders from all different kinds of different organizations, people from different backgrounds. And it's just this really cool way of myself enriching my own life. And we happen to have an audience. I'm getting into it with people. I'm talking about people they've communicated with, people they've learned from, the different ways that communication lands for them, you know, using different tools, how to show up differently in order to achieve different goals while still being true to yourself. All the stuff that we talk through with leaders from, I've had people from Microsoft and Merck Pharmaceuticals and from Toyota and Chrysler, I mean, different car companies, and just like big deal people, you know, as far as titles go, but also big deal people as far as like what they're working on in the world, who they're working on being. I had a show with Mirav Levine, who at the time was just, you know, LinkedIn connection, and we had our first networking call live, and we had it around the topic of, I think it was, what are your current goals or feedback or something. Now I don't even remember what it was, but we picked a topic and we connected about that one topic. And it was just such a cool way to get to know someone. I did the same thing with this guy, Liam, and he came on my show. He's a sales director for something. And we were in bathrobes with this woman, Heidi Forsyth, who came on just to explore, like, what does that do to people's communication? And we ended up getting into some of the deepest conversation. I mean, we talked about prison reform, and we talked about, like, all kinds of stuff in bathrobes, you know, later in the evening. But so the show's format is just different for each person that comes on. Some people want to have all the questions ahead of time, you know, so they can approve them through their communications department. For a big company, that's important. And then some people, it's just, what do we feel like talking about? Now let's find the communication angle into that and exploring it.
I love it. I love that you got into deep, heavy conversations in your bathrooms. Just goes to show when people feel comfortable, hey, you're going to break conversations.
I'm wearing a bathrobe right now. You know, I thank you for recording this in audio.
My wardrobe, there's very little difference between my sleepwear and my daywear.
So I do believe in, you know, getting dressed for bed. I used to work in a lingerie store where I sold some of the most beautiful things that have ever been created on the face of the planet. It's a place called La Petite Coquette in the East Village in New York City, and before that at Private Drawers, where we sold vintage lingerie and also new stuff out of antique furniture in upstate New York. Beautiful. And those were other like day jobs, you know, that I had towards the beginning of my acting career. But I learned the transformative power of lingerie. And I believe in this so strongly that I almost made this my speaker topic instead of intentional communication. It was that, like, that I could go left, I could go right. And I ended up going right. And so here we are. But I believe in it so much. Like, I do believe in the transformative difference that it makes to pick out something beautiful that is just for the sake of honoring your time of sleep or whoever you're in bed with, you know, and like making that moment intimate and special using this garment. And I believe that clothes can transform us. I know that I feel different when I'm like wearing a full suit, you know?
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, for sure. And, you know, I was just thinking about, you know, when I go to bed, because it's usually like pajama pants and an old t-shirt. However, what I do like is nice sheets.
Exactly.
I like using essential oils. Mm-hmm. Like, I do tend to make it ceremony. But yeah, I didn't even think about the aspect of what you're wearing to bed.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. The sheets and like the lighting in the room or the scent in the room or the temperature of the room and which blankets. Yeah, all of that's a big deal for me. But yeah, I've never taken it then the next step with what am I wearing. Never thought about that.
Well, maybe that's something that you do when you get yourselves holiday presents this year, you know, you can get something for yourself, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I wonder what the difference would be. You know, when I moved to Dallas from New York City, I didn't take that much stuff with me, but I brought multiple like robes and pajamas. I had like one suitcase that was just under things, you know, lingerie.
Oh, I love that.
And then, and then I had some cowboy boots and some other stuff. I moved here with two check bags and a carry on. And of that, I think a third of it was all intimate apparel in some way.
I love it.
We might have to do a whole show on it.
Yes, I think we need to do a whole separate show on that. Yes. We'll have you back.
I think I'm up for it. Yeah, I actually have, I was interviewed for, I think it was Hourglassy I can probably send you these articles. I've got them somewhere about how I stored, and this is back when I was living in New York and before I even, I mean, before a lot of things had happened in my life, but I had written these articles through an interview about how I stored and honored my collection of lingerie. And so I have those somewhere. I've got to send them to you.
Oh my gosh, I would love
it'll be like a little bonus material.
There you go. Perfect. We can share that.
This might be too much information for our audience. And if we think so, I might edit it out. But back when I did do the lingerie thing, because I haven't done that thing for years, if I bought a piece of lingerie to wear with a specific person, then I could not wear that with another person. It was for them.
Oh, I totally agree.
Okay.
Yep, I
could
too.
Not agree more. That's actually a rule of mine.
Good. Yeah, that was a rule of mine as well.
I think that's so important.
If the relationship ended, it was retired.
Yeah, and it's so sad, right? Because you get very attached, or at least I do, to what things look like or feel like. But then also, they have all the stories of that intimacy.
Yes.
Energetically tied to their fabric.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree.
No, I felt the same
way.
No,
I think you're...
Yep.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Same exact way.
I did not imagine the conversation going here today.
But this is what I love about this show. It just flows.
Yeah. I just sent you both the links to those how to store what you adore articles that I was
in. Oh, good.
I don't think anybody else has ever shared them on LinkedIn. So that'll be a little Easter egg for those who've made it this far.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's a riot. So Lila, what else is coming up for you? Any new workshops coming up or more book collaborations?
Yes. Well, I'm writing my own book and I'm doing research for a course that I'm writing, a section of the Say Things Better book, and a workshop that I'll be leading called Take Feedback Better, something that I definitely learned to do in theater when everyone's a critic, you know, and you have to just be able to take what you need without ego in order to move ahead in your career. You just have to take it.
Oh, what a great topic.
Oh, yeah. So I'm doing a lot of research, and that means interviewing people about feedback that they've gotten or given and how it was or wasn't received and what happened next as a result. So those are some really cool conversations that I'm enjoying. And I have a workshop later this month called Account-Based Content Marketing, because I think, and you've probably both seen this on any social media platform, but I know at least Carol and I spend most of our time on LinkedIn as far as social media platforms go. People get very hung up in the number of views that a post gets or the algorithm and whether it's going to reach enough people. And we get so hung up in trying to trick that out that we forget that we are people who have tools that have nothing to do with an algorithm that are just about connection and communication and relationships. So when I think about one account, one person I might want to work with, I will think to myself, what does that person need? What are they thinking? What's going on in their day? What's an aspect of their business that I can use as an example in a lesson that I'm teaching? And I'll make a post. So let's say it's about podcasters, you know, and I want to be hired on as a communication producer for this show, helping you to come up with some engaging questions or, well, I mean, it's really, I wouldn't be hired by this particular podcast because you do this really well. But some people have a hard time being conversational. Or they'll just go, yeah, cool, got it. And then they'll move on.
Right.
Instead of going deeper. So I would call that out in a post. And I would say, I've heard on some podcasts when a podcaster does this thing, that they'll just say, yeah, cool, thanks for sharing that, and then move on. It doesn't show that you've been listening and it doesn't reflect what your experience was.
Right.
Or how you're relating to that. And your audience wants you. They want to know things like what you shared, you know, about the lingerie and about the numerology. Your audience wants you to. That's why they keep coming back for your show. And so if I wrote a post like that, I could then take a link to that post and distribute that to any podcaster I ever feel has that issue. And go for it, you know, and then it becomes part of this library, this content library that I can use to deepen my conversations rather than just being something that lives for a moment in the feed and then dies. So I'm teaching a course about that later this month, and that'll be really cool. And that's how I've gotten a lot of my jobs, is just through Some people come to me because they've seen stuff over time in the feed, and some people, it's in a conversation that I'm having with them where I spot that they have a need I've already spoken to, and I'll send them an old link to something.
Right.
Oh yeah, I've actually expanded on that already. Here you go. Is this of value to you?
Yeah, that's a big deal, having that content library, because I mean, there's so many gems you have over the years and you don't really need that are completely evergreen. So yeah. That sounds really great.
Good, I'll see you there.
You'll see me there.
It's going to be really fun. Well, and I'm not sure when this episode will play, but yeah, through the end of the year, all of my workshops that I do myself are Pay What You Want. And if anybody needs it, code HELP in all caps will unlock totally free tickets. Aww. So just come, learn, grow, you know, and be with us. It's really just about taking stuff out of my head and sharing it with people in a way that's interactive and engaging and community building.
This is great. And we'll have everything in the show notes, of course. Lila, thank you so much for spending time with us. The time flew.
It did. I was like, oh, we're about to get started talking, right? I'm like, oh, we've been on for 50 minutes.
Lila, quickly, where can people find you online?
You can go to saythingsbetter.com. You can email me at lila@saythingsbetter.com if you want to get started working right away, communicating with other people or about yourself. And you can find me on LinkedIn. You can look up the hashtag SayThingsBetter and probably I'll pop up.
Terrific. And we will put all of that in the show notes, as Carol said.
Cool.
This has been so much fun.
I know. I knew it would be. I didn't know what would come up, but I knew that it would be something that would be different than other conversations that I've had. And sure enough.
I'm glad. Well, you always have an open invitation. And I know, you know, with the books coming out and all that, we'd love to have you back.
I would love it. Thank you. And thanks for having me.
Thank you. And everybody, thanks for listening today. If you like what you're hearing, drop us a quick note, contact us through the website. If there's something that you want us to do a show about, or if you think you'd make a great guest, get in touch with us and let us know. We love talking to everybody. So let us know what you have to say. As always, you can catch the show on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and we're now available on Amazon Music, which we're very excited about. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Hi, everyone. If you love the Divine Breadcrumb podcast and the stories we're sharing, please consider supporting the show by making a donation on our Buy Me a Coffee page. You can set up monthly donations or make a one-time donation in any amount you choose. Just go to thedivinebreadcrumb.com and click on the Support TDB tab. Or you can go to buymeacoffee.com/TDB. Again, that's buymeacoffee.com/TDB. We're forever grateful for your support.